Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. For those of you just joining us, welcome to the show. For those of you who have come back for the third segment of today's issues, welcome back to you. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Wesley Wildman. And then, as per usual, we welcome in Steve Paisley-Jordahl. And Steve, welcome.
Come back for the third. I mean, there's people that join us for the third segment.
That's true. That is absolutely that's true. Now you do have a Paisley shirt.
Yeah.
Is this new one?
No.
Okay.
No, I've had this a while. I don't. You know, I rotate them.
You do.
Okay. Keep guessing.
Yes, keep
everybody guessing.
I don't know that I've seen that one, so I must have been. It must not have been one of my days when just one of those days.
I got Paisley. I got you, Paisley shirts, man.
You got Paisley.
Yeah, I got.
Do you usually get your shirts from the same place or a variety of places?
I look online, and my buying habits are such that now I'm fed a whole lot of places on my it comes up. I see ads all the time now for Paisley stuff.
Are you serious? Oh, because you search for Paisley shirts.
Well, because I bought one. Okay, like here's a site. Look at this. This is
but how do they know you don't just like shirts with a black background?
Well, they don't. They don't, but they know. Okay, so this is a company. I'm not going to name what it is, but I got a text from them Saturday. Tuesdays, Sunday, yesterday. I haven't got one yet today, but
wow.
They keep sending me stuff because
Paisley
not
stuff?
Necessarily. It's just
bright
shirts.
Colored shirts.
Bright colored shirts.
Yeah, because not traditional shirts. I mean, not your standard.
This is one that I actually bought from them.
This makes really good radio,
yeah,
too,
it?
By the way.
I know.
Hey, look at this, guys. All right, for you folks listening, just a picture in your mind, your mind's eye. All right, Steve, let's get to the actual news.
All right. We talk a lot about the encroachment of artificial intelligence on this culture that we are getting ready for a whole revolution. All of this artificial intelligence takes computers, takes computing powers. You have to put buildings full of computers together in order to get this wonder that we call artificial intelligence. And for those, we require data centers. Well, there's a whole lot of argument going on. There's a lot of not-in-my-backyard-ism going on about these data centers. And some people think they're good. Some people think they're not. They might use more energy, might cause your energy to go up. Anyway, Fred, we've got a couple people inputting on this.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders and AOC and some of the other on the left, basically they would like to block these data centers because they're worried about energy costs. They're worried about the water that has to be used to cool these machines down,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So here's a little bit of Senator Bernie Sanders, Cut 11.
We are announcing legislation to impose a moratorium on the construction of new AI data centers until strong national safeguards are in place.
They are racing to construct thousands of giant AI data centers and jacking up the utility costs of everyday Americans to pay for it.
I stand with local and state elected officials saying that we cannot approve any more of these until we have federal level guardrails.
All right. Who's that last voice?
That was Abdul El-Sayed.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So you had those are three voices from the left. They're warning that these AI centers need to be studied a bit more, very dangerous because they're going to use up so much electricity, they're going to raise the electrical bill for you and me and everybody else.
Right.
So to respond to that, Fox and Friends this morning had on one of their news, Fox News specialists, business specialist, Lou Bassanese is his name. And this was his response to what he considers Bernie Sanders, AOC, and El-Sayed crying wolf and misleading people about the alleged dangers of these data centers. Cut number 12.
I think this is a grave mistake. This is a national security issue that's turning into a local zoning issue. And I don't know anyone, if you've ever been to a homeowners meeting that's run well, they never are. And now we're putting politicians in charge of a technology that very few of them ever understand. And it's moving too fast. And I would tell you, we've been here before, right? Remember 5G and cell towers? Nobody wanted them in their backyard, but they wanted five bars of coverage. Same thing here playing out with data centers. People are afraid of what's going to happen. They talk about the cost. But here's the funny thing. When it talks about water usage, your local Olive Garden uses as much water as an average data center. So I don't hear anyone opposing Olive Garden on their water usage and bill going up. They should, because it's not real Italian food.
Okay, to the Italian.
This is why you wouldn't let me listen to this clip in our story meeting.
Rabbit trail.
Okay. A lot to unpack here. First of all, an unnecessary swipe at Olive Garden. It is Italian food. It's not the greatest Italian food in the world.
But it is an attempt at Italian food.
It's an attempt at Italian food. Now, my mom and dad would be very disappointed in what I just said. Okay, defending Olive Garden, but it's not bad. My wife likes it. We go. They have some decent pasta. Why am I talking about this? You guys baited me into this. This is not about Olive Garden.
We can go back to my shirts if you want.
So here I am trying to finesse my way through the Olive Garden.
We weren't going to save you. We were just sitting back.
I know.
Literally eating popcorn right now.
Yeah. You're literally eating popcorn, watching me fumble my way through the. We have a local restaurant here in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is our headquarters for American Family Association and for American Family Radio. So I don't want to disparage them.
I enjoy their food.
Yeah.
One of the charges that I'm hearing is that those that are opposing these data centers.
Whoa, we're talking about Olive Garden. What's your opinion on Olive Garden?
I love Olive Garden.
All right, let's now we can move on. Okay, let me ask you, Steve, because you do a lot of this the research and the stories on this.
I was trying to get us back on track, is what I was trying to save you, but yeah.
So I'm gonna admit, I'm not sure who's telling the truth here about the data centers. I've heard and read stories about people whose water pressure in their community dropped because of all the water going to the data center. That was what they said. Who's telling the truth on some of these things? As far as you can tell in your research.
The people that I talk to, most people will say that it's likely that those that oppose these data centers are being influenced by China, who would rather not have us put together or the road to artificial intelligence superiority be made easy for us. One solution to these data centers that Elon Musk is having is he's putting them in space.
For the cooling.
Yeah. There's no need for water and all of the problems of in your backyard, and everything is solved by putting them in space.
How would those be powered? Just
sunlight, 24 hours a day.
Solar. Okay, so let me ask you this, because that's interesting to me. Yeah. So let me pick your brain a little bit about that. So how would the data be transmitted? It's just like via satellite, up and down, like you would, like we do have satellites,
cell phones, and such. Yeah,
and the speed of transmission is
they.
Not significant?
He's not worried about it.
He's not worried about it.
The precursor to that, of course, is his cell phone. His what's it called?
I can't think of the name of the
cell phone company that he has. He's put those in places that don't have, like in disaster areas where your infrastructure is out.
There's satellite.
Starlink. Sorry.
Yeah.
I looked at
that. So I tend to think that the concerns over the data centers are a little overblown.
And it does seem to me that we're going to have to figure out a way. Data centers aren't going away.
You got to have computing power to put this.
It's one of those, the pros outweigh the cons by a good margin.
Yeah.
That your electric, let's just play this out. Let's concede and say your electric bill goes up. Okay, maybe it does, but then everything else is about to go down.
Yeah.
Because of the advancement of technology.
Yeah. So. And let me just say this too, a lot of the concerns are being played out on social media. I know on X, I can regularly find stories about these data centers and that what the government intends to use them for. And I listen, The government has made its own bed in terms of people not trusting it. Now they have to sleep in it. So yeah. People, I read about people saying this is for digital currency and for tracking human beings and all that kind of stuff and keeping tabs on what you do, where you move. And I don't anymore just discount those concerns as tinfoil hat concerns, again, because the government has proved itself untrustworthy under countless administrations. And so now the government has to deal with the fallout.
But the concerns have crossed political lines.
Yes.
It's not just Democrats. It's not just DSA people that are out there. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, in Texas, the governor there has put a moratorium, a block, a hold for now on development of future AI centers, mm-hmm. because there are certain cities, large cities, that are very concerned. These things do soak up a lot of energy, and so there's only a limited supply of energy.
Well, and also I'll tell you something else too. They require a fair amount of land.
Yes.
And there are concerns about the government using eminent domain mm-hmm. to just buy up people's homes.
Which hasn't happened yet to this point. And also, tech companies are being given license to build their own power supplies. They're not drawing from the same power supply that your TV and your bedroom lights are coming from.
Is it true? I read that they're considering maybe like little mini nuclear power plants, or is there another form of power?
I've heard that. I don't know. I'm not up to date on where that argument stands.
Okay. All right. That's good. So this is part of your regular beat.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll turn to Steve Jordahl when we have questions about whether we should put on our tinfoil hat. Oh, let me just say this one other thing. I honestly don't understand how algorithms work mm-hmm. when I'm online on the internet or when I'm using social media, because I started getting these kind of stories, I think in my Facebook feed or whatever, these people with these hats, these caps. You're supposed to put, have you seen these?
No.
You put these caps on and it's supposed to protect you from, this type of radiation or this type of signal. I guess it's just me. I have no idea why they're pointing these at me. I have no interest in it. But
you're listening to you right now.
The blank looks on your face.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is apparently directed only at me. Yeah. So I'll have to try to figure out why I'm in their crosshairs. All right, what else?
All right. So earlier this summer, Los Angeles had a mayoral primary, and Karen Bass was leading. There was a Democrat, another Democrat in the race, and then there was a Republican named Spencer Pratt.
Yes, I remember this guy.
Well, there was a polling company, a polling firm, and it was named Median Strategies that came out with some polls. And it came out with a poll that found that Karen Bass was leading by in double digits, a 12-point lead in her race. Basically, it told Republican voters, don't bother to come out because Spencer Pratt has no choice, no chance. Well, it turns out that Median Strategies, all of a sudden, the Los Angeles Times does an investigation and finds out that it's not actually a polling firm. They say that they were conducting what they were calling a social experiment. They wanted to see if they could put some data out there, a poll out there, and who would pick it up. And so the news picked it up. Different companies picked it up. William Lajeunesse is talking about this. He explains a little bit about what's going on at Cut 15.
A legitimate sounding company puts out a poll showing LA Mayor Karen Bass leads Councilwoman Rahman by 12 points. Well, that's plausible. But it also showed 85% of Spencer Pratt voters breaking for Bass. Well, that's insane. Most Pratt voters would rather walk through fire than vote for Bass. But the media loves polls. TV stations, social media, a major newspaper reported it. Hook, line, and sinker. Millions of voters believed one thing that was entirely fabricated. And when the LA Times called the polling company, it admits the whole thing was a hoax, saying, quote, Median Strategies was created as a short-term social experiment to examine how purported polling information could enter and spread through the political information ecosystem without independent verification. We're not seeking publicity or attribution for the individuals involved in our declining interviews.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about it.
Well, so, did they lie? It sounds like they lied.
Well, they're spinning it.
The suspicion is that Democrats were behind this, and it was push poll put out there to discourage Pratt voters. And now that they've been found out, they're all changing the tune and saying, we were never really a polling firm. We were conducting a social experiment.
Yeah, that sounds like lying.
Yes.
It does it a lot, doesn't it?
If your kid, you still have young kids, Wesley, if your kid, well, one of your children came and tried to spin what he or she had done, in this way, you would say, no, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, the only reason I took the cookies was I was conducting a social experiment
right.
to see how parents would react to the missing cookies. It wasn't that I wanted the cookies.
That's right.
Or that I enjoyed eating them. Fred, I was just talking about how government, we talked about COVID a couple of weeks ago, how the medical profession kind of, you know, hurt themselves, shot themselves in the foot, if you will, in terms of the trust of the American people. Here's another example of institutions. I know they're saying they weren't a polling firm, but people don't pay attention to who the poll is conducted by a lot of times. They just think, oh, it's a polling firm. This is a scientific, sociological analysis of where people are. This kind of thing makes people trust polling as an institution even less.
Well, two things at work here. I think the liberal media would have loved this poll.
Yeah.
And they would want to put it out there because their candidate, Bass, is way out in front. And they didn't like the more conservative candidate.
Oh, they hated Spencer Pratt because of his powerful social media ads.
He did. So they jumped on this poll. I'm just thinking, having worked in the liberal newsroom environment many years ago, they jumped on this poll and celebrated it and wanted to put it out there without checking the source on this. The other thing in this, if it was, let's just believe this group for a moment, an experiment, then they should have come out within 24 hours and said, wait a minute, it wasn't a real poll. We were just experimenting to see how people responded to it. They should have gone public with this information. When did they go public with the information?
They were found out. They were investigated.
Okay.
They didn't.
I'm surprised. Was it the LA Times?
LA Times.
I'm surprised they took the time to investigate.
I'm not defending them. Their claim that they were trying to experiment to see, they would probably say we needed more than just 24 hours to see how this went. To me, the answer would be, the right approach would be, you don't do a political poll. Do a poll on some other subject.
Yeah.
You know, on people's views about climate change or this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
You don't use a topic that is likely to influence an election.
A very hot current topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, in November, Los Angelinos will be trying to elect a mayor, and they will have the choice between Rahman and Bass. And Spencer Pratt is nowhere to be found on the ballot because he lost in the primary.
Yeah. And listen, I will say this about City Councilwoman member Nithya Rahman. I do like her food. I do, those noodles are just great. They do have a lot of sodium, but that may be ethnically wrong to do.
I had self control there.
I thought it. When I saw that name, it's not even spelled the same. Her name is Raman, not En, like the delicious noodles. All right, I'm getting messages from my
You want
producer.
Me to help us out?
Huh?
You need help us out here?
Yeah, go ahead. You want to move us along?
This is, you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
Next story, Steve.
Yep. There's a bit of a scandal going on over in Great Britain right now, where every year the king, in this case now a king, it was Queen Elizabeth, issues a what's called a sovereign grant report. Basically, it is the report, the king or the sovereign over Great Britain is the head of the Church of England. And part of that tradition has been they are the defender of the faith. Well, in this year's sovereign grant annual report in June, they replaced the
title.
In 2025 and 26, the grant said His Majesty is Supreme Governor of the Church of England and head of the Church of England and Defender of the Faith. This last one says His Majesty is Supreme Governor of the Church of England and protects the space for faith within a multi-faith nation. Now, could it be that a growing Muslim population in England who's a little upset with wants to kind of control everything, had some sway in this? Are they being deferential to the Muslims?
Wesley?
The argument could be made.
Well, what do you think?
I read that last part again, or I will. This part right here protects the space for faith.
What?
Within the multi-faith nation? We could just not do that. You could just keep the original one.
Yeah,
this is not necessary.
This is cowardice in action.
Yes.
This is the coward's way out, precisely because of what you said, Steve. They didn't make this change to protect the feelings of whatever number of Hindus are in the UK. No. Right, Fred?
That's right.
It's not for a few Taoists or, you know, Mormons aren't in the Church of England.
I got a good one for you. You could say Head of the Church of England and Defender of the Faith. Oh, wait, that's what it said previously.
Yes.
That was just fine.
How about Defender of the Faith against Muslim invaders?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
This is the difference, one of the differences between England and here. England is set up. There is no church-state separation. The state of England is the English church. It is. The king is the head of the church.
Well, this may be part of the problem. Yeah. Is it the Church of England? Fred, I will get your take now, I promise. The Church of England is, I'm not saying it's a lost cause, but it's getting pretty close to being so compromised theologically.
Yes. Yes.
That there's hardly anything left to defend.
That's right. And it is all connected to what has happened in Britain, an invasion of Muslims.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done stories. There's great concern amongst some British people about what's happening there, because now Muslims are mayors of several different cities, including the city of London.
Yeah.
Has a Muslim mayor. So this is King Charles being extremely politically correct. He's head of the Church of England. If you want to be technical, it is a Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
Technical.
Yeah, technically. Yeah,
not reality.
Yeah.
Christian church. So
it's our Episcopal church. It's the same.
Right? Yes. So yeah. he is to be the defender of that faith.
Yeah. He's the head of that church.
What he has elected to do is not so much anymore, folks. I'm going to defend everybody because everybody's okay in God's eyes.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. That's where he is in his thinking.
If you look back at the history of England and some of the monarch, the Queen's sister, Queen Elizabeth's sister, wasn't allowed to marry a divorced man, it was because they're head of the Church of England, and the Church of England did not allow that at the time.
Right.
So they took this very seriously in the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, the Episcopal Church, like you said, the Episcopal Church is part of that worldwide Anglican community, headed up by the Church of England, and they are splitting not only in this country, but there are conservative Anglican churches around the world. That go ahead.
I'll add this real quick. Political correctness is only tyranny with manners. Just remember that.
I like that. Did you come up with that? Or
mm-mm.
That's good.
The director of the Ten Commandments movie.
Yeah.
Forget his name.
Is Cecil B. DeMille? The original?
The original one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, the actor that played Moses.
Oh, Charlton Heston.
Charles Heston. He said that.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you right back here tomorrow.